Here's what's ahead of us today on The Balanced Word.
God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If there's a way, in any way, that we can live more humbly, that we can just treat people the way we want to be treated, that we can not set ourselves off as being superior to someone else, God gives us his grace. It makes it safe to not be perfect. When you humble yourself, then God's grace comes much easier than when you elevate yourself.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
When you stop to think of it, many of the problems we face can be traced back to pride. Often it's at the center of marital conflict, or a business relationship gone south, or even disagreements in the church. Today on The Balanced Word, we'll see how destructive pride is, and conversely, how humility leads to honor and blessing. Pastor Dave Rolfe is going through the Proverbs in a series called Smarter Living.
Well, now we turn our attention to the book of Proverbs. And each week we've been looking at things that God teaches us through Proverbs that can help us do life better, help us to find more of a successful way to live our lives. And so we've called it Smarter Living because it's a way for us to live smarter as we listen to the wisdom of the wisest guy that ever lived, Solomon. But today, this week, we are reflecting on what he has to say about pride and humility. Pride and humility, two opposing concepts that are a real struggle in our lives, but they're super important. As C.S. Lewis talked about, pride is the mother of all sins. Pride is what leads to every other sin, and something that we need to certainly understand and recognize if it's what's causing so much of our problems. You know, he also talked about, you know, that pride is what made the devil the devil. And there's some real truth to that. The rebellion of Satan himself that we see in Scripture was a direct result of his pride. For a really simple definition, and there are complicated definitions of pride, but a real simple definition would be pride is thinking that you're better than other people. You just believe that you are superior to others. And the flip side of that, humility, is not believing that you're better than others. Lewis also said, pride isn't not thinking of yourself, not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. It's just that I am not so critical that I am the center of all of my thoughts. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the Hebrew word chesed, which is a word that's sometimes translated mercy or kindness, but at its root, the word means to treat people like they're your equal, to treat people as if you are peers, not talking down to people. It gets kind of complicated because I think if you ask anyone about humility and pride, we would all say we love humility. We respect humility. We honor humble people. But the truth is, while we honor humility, we actually follow and reward people who are prideful, narcissistic, and arrogant. You look at who has the most follows in social media, and it is not the simple people who are humble. So we have this kind of conflict. So let's begin to look into some scriptures in Proverbs and see what Solomon says about the benefits of humility and the hazards of pride, okay? Let's turn to Proverbs 3, first of all. Proverbs 3 and verse 34. Solomon, in talking about the Lord, says, "Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble." Now that verse, "he scorns the scornful," in James chapter 4, when James is quoting this scripture, he has a little different translation, I think from the Septuagint, where he says, God resists the proud. So the meaning there, the idea of it is, if you're proud, God resists you. If you are humble, God gives grace to you. We all want grace. We appreciate grace so much. And we certainly want, in fact, a lot of our pride is because we're absolutely convinced that God is on our side, that he is behind us. But here Solomon lets us know, now, God looks at you in your pride, and he just goes, oh, brother. In fact, he stands in your way. He blocks your progress. If you ever feel like you're running into a wall in life, here's a place to look. Is God resisting you because of your self-centeredness, because of your pride, because of your arrogance, because you care about you more than you care about everyone else? God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If there's a way, in any way, that we can live more humbly, that we can just treat people the way we want to be treated, that we can not set ourselves off as being superior to someone else, God gives us his grace. It makes it safe to not be perfect. When you humble yourself, then God's grace comes much easier than when you elevate yourself. Now turn over to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2. He says in Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. One thing that proud people are really afraid of is being showed up, is being embarrassed, is being shamed. But the irony is, pride will lead to shame. It's inevitable. At the same time, to humble yourself, to just realize you're like everyone else, you gain wisdom. You gain a healthier, more helpful perspective. And not only that, people will see you as being wise if you can avoid being prideful, where they can't wait to see you put to shame. Now turn over to chapter 16 of Proverbs. Proverbs 16 and verse 5 says this, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. Now we saw that God resists the proud person. But here he says, you're repulsive to him when you are proud. When you are arrogant, when you believe you're better than others, he is disgusted by you. You're an abomination to him. You make him sick. On the other hand, obviously, on the other side, when you're humble, God's pleased. He loves seeing us be that way. Now, further down in chapter 16, and we'll look at these two verses, verses 18 and 19, and then we're going to put it alongside a verse in chapter 18 that's a parallel passage. Proverbs 16, 18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And then turn over to chapter 18 and verse 12. Remember, he had just said pride comes before destruction. And here in verse 12, chapter 18, he says, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. So pride destroys. It destroys you. It destroys the people who are close to you. Humility, quite the contrary to that. It actually leads to you being respected and honored. It's so ironic that when you so desire to be honored that you put yourself first, you end up being humiliated. And when you choose to humble yourself, you end up finding honor and blessing. Pride destroys. Now, over in chapter 22, and don't worry, there's just a couple more. For those of you who are just exhausted from using your thumb or your app, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4. By humility, and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. If we can find a way to become more humble, the promise is we will be richer. We will, as he says, we will be honored, and our lives become richer. We become more alive. Of course, the flip side is also true. Pride will cost you financially. Pride will bring into your life dishonor. And pride becomes more of a force for death than it does for life. The last scripture we're going to look at is Proverbs chapter 30 and verses 32 and 33. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, put your hand on your mouth. For as the churning of milk produces butter, and wringing the nose produces blood, so the forcing of wrath produces strife. In other words, if you live a prideful life, you're going to make people mad at you. Not only that, people are going to want to fight you. They want to prove to you that you're not as great, as smart, as awesome as you think you are. And so, again, on the other hand, to humble yourself, you'll be at peace with people. So when we look at all these verses, we realize, wow, pride is something that can really mess your life up. It costs you greatly. It leads to you being at odds with other people. It doesn't bring anything good into your life ultimately, but humility, if you can find a way to be humble, to see people as those who are of equal value than you, people will like you more. God will be happy with you. You'll be more successful. It's radical, the difference. And so, by way of application, I'll ask you, do you think we have a problem with pride in today's world? Yes. That's what my granddaughter says when I ask her an obvious question, like, hey, Sadie, you want to go to the park? She goes, yes. Pride is pervasive in our society, in our culture. It's an accepted part of our existence, but of course, it's always been that way. It was that way in Solomon's day. It was that way in the days of Jesus. It's been that way throughout history. And today, still, we are paying the price for pride being something that is motivating people. Now, you know, how do you see this? First of all, let's point out what pride really is and how this works. Pride comes from the fact that we are different. You are different than the person in your life who you are closest to. Although maybe you were drawn to that person as your friend, as your mate or whatever, because you thought you were so much alike. The truth is, we're all really different. Every one of us, we all are here in the same church, and yet if we went around and polled opinions, there are certain things that we agree on, but there are other ways in which we are really different people. And so those differences that God designed in our lives are the very things that create all the problems of pride and give us the opportunities for humility. It's how we deal with the differences. Now, if there's someone who's different than you and you are humble and you go, wow, you see things differently than I do, that's kind of cool. Because together we have a broad perspective, a varied opinion. Boy, I love the kind of diversity that exists in our lives. Humility helps you to welcome differences, to welcome people who see things differently than you do. But what pride does, it causes you to see someone who's different than you, and you go, I need to change you really quick. Because there's something wrong with you that you don't see things the way I do. And so, you know, we look at, okay, how are we going to fix this? I read a fascinating book this week. It's really interesting, called Being Wrong by Catherine Schultz. And if you don't want to read the book, it gets pretty involved and heavy, but go look at the TED Talks for Catherine Schultz and read her TED Talk about being wrong. It's really a fascinating book about how important it is that we're okay with being wrong. Now, in her book, she says, here's how this develops. As you take this prideful position, I find a person who's different than me, and I think that's kind of weird. But the first thing I do is I think, you know, they're just ignorant. They don't have all the information. So I try really hard to give them all the data that's going to make them agree with me. Then they'll be normal like I am. So usually that doesn't work. You know how well it works in a marriage. You marry somebody and you're like, yeah, they're kind of messed up in some ways, but I'm sure once I explain to them how things are, that God is going to change them and make them just like me. Well, when you address their ignorance and just getting your information doesn't change them to make them like you, Catherine Schultz says, the next thing after ignorance is you assume they are just stupid. They're just idiots. So you give them the data, but they don't have the mental capacity to actually process it. So you're like, at first they're ignorant, then they're idiots. But then when you find out, actually, they are able to reason quite well in many other areas. So then you decide, maybe it's not ignorance, maybe it's not idiocy, it's got to be evil. You demonize them. And so you decide that anybody who disagrees with you after you've worked on them for a while, they're just awful people, that's all. They want to be this way, or they are possessed, or, you know, there's something in them that's making them the way they are. Because I can't accept the fact that someone can be okay and not be like me. I want to change them. So where is this manifested? I think I mentioned relationships. If with every friendship or every romance or anything that you ever have, you discover, wow, we're different. But you think, with a little time, I think they'll come around. I have so much that I can teach this person. So much of a perspective. Isn't it beautiful that God brought two different people together so that we can both become like me? I think, and there are some ways in which that works, sad to say. You know, I can say, oh, it's cool, you know, after all these years of marriage, my wife can now sit down and watch some Ultimate Fighting with me. I'm not really sure that was a plus, you know. But it's like, there. Sometimes you just wear down. But I'd submit to you that in just about every case where a relationship goes bad, it's ultimately due to the fact that I thought I could change you, and it hasn't worked, and therefore I am demonizing you. I am making you a bad person. When Pastor Chuck and Kay had their 50th anniversary, I was sitting in Chuck's office talking to him, and I said, so 50 years of marriage, what have you learned about it? And Chuck goes, well, the first 40 years were really rough. And he said, then we decided to just not try to change each other. And it's been pretty good. Relationships are absolutely destroyed when one person is judging the other person and trying to make them be what you think they ought to be. But not only that, even in the sports world, last night the Giants lost to the Padres on a fluke play. Now, I don't care about the Padres, but, you know, I do care about the Dodgers, who are, you know, God's team, the the man in blue. And so the fact that a pitcher balked and a run came in and the Giants lose, that blesses me incredibly. I could thank God for that. But at first, I meet people who are like fans of the Giants. And I'm like, you just don't know. You haven't read all the statistics. You don't understand how superior our team is to yours. And but giving them the statistics, they're still not convinced. And I'm like, it's just that you grew up in the Bay Area. That's your problem. And you know, but it ends up, I hate Giants fans. I hate the Giants. If they win, it's because the devil made it happen. You know? And it's just like a stupid game, throwing a ball around and hitting it with a stick, and yet it just looks evil because it doesn't conform with my view of the world that's, you know, completely different. And I can twist and turn the statistics all I want. I can look at the Lakers and actually believe that they're going to have a decent year this year. But we get this, we get these biases that happen for us. It certainly happens in politics. It's not enough to just say, well, you see it this way and I see it this way. I just go, well, when they have some debates, then everyone in the country is going to see it my way. And then when everybody isn't in the country doesn't agree with me, I'm like, bunch of idiots. They aren't even able to prosecute. It's so obvious what's going on here. And then finally, it's like, I think the devil is at work in our country. And why? Just because everybody doesn't see it the way that I do. I think as well, even within the Christian world, even with churches that look at other churches and they just think, wow, they don't have the right information. And then if they have the information, they're so stupid. And then ultimately, I hate those people. And, you know, you even, when it comes to churches, people will hate you because you don't hate the people that they hate. That's what pride does. It's like, not only will it not allow people to be different, it won't even allow people to have a different opinion of someone else who you have no gripe with personally. By the way, this happens every time somebody breaks up in a marriage. You know, you put yourself in a position where it's like, I can't be friends with both of you. Because so often, each of them, and I have this happen so often, two people that I love just can't get along together, which I, you know, it is what it is. But then they're going, if you don't hate them, I hate you. You need to choose. No, this isn't my fight. I didn't get divorced. It's like, I love both of you. Can't I just be friends with both of you? A lot of times not, because pride causes us to be mad at people and to be mad at people who aren't mad at those people. What a horrible thing that pride does in that way.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 945, and 1130. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Ponder this with Pastor Dave as we close.
I just have to think, what would the world be like if people were more humble and less proud? What would the world be like if, you know, I mean, certainly most people who have been married would have stayed married. Because that's always what causes that division ultimately, is when you grow to scorn someone because they're different than you are, they do things differently than you do. There certainly wouldn't be a bunch of wars going on. politics would be very friendly. Like, no, I think you would be great as president. Really, I think you would be great as president. Wait, you mean no one's evil? They just are all trying to do their best and they see things differently? Oh, what are you, some kind of pinko? You know, are you communist? It's gonna... God, the world with humility would just be amazing. So many things would be different.
More about pride and humility on the next Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe, a listener-supported ministry at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel, online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up my soul. Wake up.